If it were not simply a confirmation from God, I have been laughing all during Daniel's exhortation to us because he has preached my sermon tonight. We can all say amen and just be dismissed and go home. Were it not for the fact that I have something to preach. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you that you're here and there's one spirit here tonight. And I pray that you will speak through your word, Lord. You will do something needful in our hearts that will make us better ready for this hour and better servants for this hour. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless every heart that's here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. How's that for a confirmation? Praise God. There remaineth something wonderful for you. Hallelujah. Can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah. It's waiting for you, which means we haven't received it fully yet. There's something more. We haven't completely entered in yet. So there's something wonderful ready for us. It's God's rest and peace in our hearts. It's God's divine, powerful, supernatural, loving rest. And we're going to look at how basic it is, how important it is tonight, and how wonderful it is. Howard Katz has said repeatedly that his discovering the rest truths saved his life. And I can say amen. You know how here he was a successful Jewish businessman, and you know how Jews are kind of highly motivated anyway, and maybe a little uptight, but for him it saved his life. I think it saved my life as well, and probably has you also. I grieve for those poor saints that haven't yet discovered the rest of God, that it's based on something far deeper than our experience. So it's the foundation for our lives. And it holds us up, and we need holding up. Satan attacks our rest in God because he knows that it's our foundation, and he's very wise. He goes after the foundation and tries and shake your foundation so that you can't believe for anything. You can't hardly trust at all. And so it's our foundation. God has your future and your present in his hands. And for that reason, so we can rest and enjoy God. The real title of this message is Rest and Enjoy God. So we want to be talking about resting and enjoying God. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 33, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, and I think maybe I'll turn to it and read it, even though you know it by heart. Exodus 33, beginning with verse 13. I probably have it memorized too. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Understanding God's way enables us to know him. Can I hear an amen? if you don't understand his way, 1,000 things will keep you from pressing into really knowing God. And so, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And so we'll start there. He said, Lord, Moses was an old man at this time, and he was saying, Lord, I think I know your way. I mean, I've been walking with you and learning from you for many, many years, but would you please just sum it up and give me in a nutshell so that I can really anchor to it. What? Teach me your way. What is your way? And God says, joyfully, I will tell you. Here's my way, Moses. My presence will go with you. How many can say hallelujah? God, what is your way? My presence will go with you. I say hallelujah. And there's so many fruits from that, we can't possibly go into all of them. But the importance of his presence going with us, I mean, he's with us in the sense that he's omnipresent all the time. But this is not what he's referring to. He's referring to the manifest presence of God, His presence going with us. And so that's it. You and me, living from day to day, strengthened by His presence, blessed by His presence. And how do we recognize the presence of God? God says, I will give you rest, and it's a miracle, the miracle of divine rest. In His presence, He gives us a sweet, powerful understanding that He is in control. There's nothing, you can't have rest unless you know that. There's so many things seemingly going wrong. There's so many things that are out of control and exploding in the wrong directions. Countries just doing wild things, and all of them against us. And how can you have rest in the midst of that unless somehow God helps us to believe that He is in control? And if you see that, there's rest. Children get rest when they can say, well, Papa will take care of it, you know. Papa will handle it. I don't know how to handle it, but Daddy, he can handle it. And that's our Papa can handle it. Praise God, and that brings rest. He's in control. He's in control of the universe. He's in control of your life. He's in control of your future. Praise God, and the world, that brings rest to me. And the world situation, I have tried to think of it from all the directions that I'm capable of, and it makes no sense to me right now. But God's in control. That alone helps me. So your loving Heavenly Father is guiding your life through that storm. He can guide you through that storm. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Do you know that you can never fall further than the everlasting arms? No, never. I mean, if the everlasting arms are underneath you, you can never fall further than the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. I say glory. Hallelujah. Adam was created on Friday, the sixth day, remember. And he went to sleep. And he got up on Saturday, a viral young creation, male creation, ready to go. And he came to God and says, God, what shall we do today? Shall we name some animals or build a house? What shall we do today? God says, oh, Adam, today we rest. And Adam probably said, but I haven't done anything yet. I don't need to rest. I mean, I'm not tired. I'm ready to go. I've got all these brand new muscles and I'm ready to go. But God says, you'll understand this later, Adam, but you see, in my kingdom, we always start with rest. We always start with rest. And beloved, that's been a principle that I've tried to learn through the years. No matter what you're starting, you better enter into rest first before you start it. If you start something while you're out of rest, you have no confidence that even the foundation of it is any good or that it will serve any useful purpose. Enter into rest first before you start anything. And if God does not bring rest and touch it with His rest, don't start it. Hallelujah. Say, I'll either put it to another time or else I'll never touch it, because unless God brings His rest, it's not for us to begin. And so, in beginning anything, the first thing you're to do is to find the smile of God. Hallelujah. The first thing you do is find the smile of God. Let's make that a major goal in our life, to constantly find the smile of God, God's sense of blessing and God's approval. Hallelujah. First we come into rest, and then we hear Him speak to us. Jack Locker used to say, you never make any major decision until you first come into rest. And I think that's pretty good counsel. And I've tried to listen to that as best I can. So there's rest through the Holy Spirit. He's like a dove. He quietly gives us His rest. Praise God. And we can learn from Adam's experience that rest comes first. It's not like the natural kingdom. It's not like you work and then you rest. It's like you rest and then you carry a restful spirit and a restful faith into the beginning of what you're doing, and then it'll carry through throughout all of it. Otherwise, you'll be anxiety-ridden like most of the people in this age, and what good is that? You know. So rest in God and enjoy Him. Praise God. There's a special... Now this next... You folks already know this, but I want to emphasize it very strongly. If you'll catch afresh what I'm going to share with you right now, it'll make your tomorrow and the day after and all your tomorrows better, okay? There's a special room inside of you. And we are spirit, soul, and body. And God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are triune. We are spirit, soul, and body. And in our spirit, this special room is called our spirit. And that is where Christ lives. I want you to know, Christ moved into you one day, and He filled your spirit. He reaches out and does whatever is needful in your soul, and He reaches out and strengthens you in your body and heals you in your body. He reaches through you and ministers to others, but He lives in your spirit. He perfectly filled your spirit. I want you to know, and I get excited about this, there is something perfect about you. No matter, it's amazing to me, but there's something perfect about you, and it's Christ. He perfectly fills your spirit. There ain't no sin in there. There's nothing faulty in there. And so, see what I mean? If you'll hear this word tonight, it'll change your tomorrow. There's something in you that's perfect. We want to talk about that for a little while. And that there's a part of you that is always victorious. Always victorious. No matter how you feel or no matter how you fail. Even when you fail, there's a part of you that is always victorious. And that's the foundation, amen? That's the thing that carries us. It's that, hallelujah, there's a part of us that is always at rest. Always at rest. And we can learn to draw from that. We can learn to, it's called taking a step of faith. When you need rest... You take a step of faith, and then the Lord begins to pour rest into your soul out of your spirit, and you begin to feel the rest, and you can experience. But it takes, how many knows the Christian life is made up of many steps of faith, you know? And it's what I want to encourage you with is the resources are there in Christ. It's not in us in any sense of the word, but in Christ who dwells in our spirit. The resources are there, so when you take a step of faith, it is solid. I mean, it has the backing of the Godhead behind it. Praise God. It's always at rest. Do you know that sometimes God uses us the most when we feel the worst? Have you ever experienced that? I mean, He uses us the best and the most when we feel the worst. I remember one time I was in pastoring in Valparaiso, Indiana. It was a Saturday, and I was trying to get a message, and I had a headache, and it was cold and rainy. I think it was probably December or something. It was really, it gets cold up there, folks. I've seen it 26 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, and I've seen it go for weeks without getting up to freezing, you know, so it's cold up there. Well, I was feeling cold and bad and sorry for myself, you know, but... Anyway, I heard this knocking on the front door. And so I left my office and went out there. There was this young man, and I opened the door. He was a young seminary student who had heard about our church. And he was there, and he came in. He says, I heard, I'm a seminary student, but I don't feel anything. And I hear that you folks believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Could you tell me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, by faith I can, you know, and I started sharing with him. Suddenly there were explosions. He got baptized with the Holy Ghost with dynamite and speaking in tongues, and we praised God, and danced all over that place for several hours, and it was glorious. And I want to tell you, I did not feel like that. The least I could have said, please come back next Saturday, and I'll try to be more prepared. But God knew what he was doing. Amen? And he really got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I'm sure his ministry has benefited from that moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. So sometimes when we feel the worst, God is going to let his victory flow through us in order to demonstrate to us that it's not us. Hallelujah. How many can say, thank you, Lord? Amen. Now here's a verse that illustrates this perfectly. He says, Jesus said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that clear? There are lots of times that your flesh wants to say no and your spirit wants to say yes. The spirit is willing. The flesh says, no, I'm too tired. I'm hungry. I haven't had enough sleep. The flesh is, or I'm just depressed. The flesh is weak. How many know the flesh is weak? Well, I want you to know something more important than that. Your spirit is always ready. Your spirit is always ready. Don't let your feelings be your prime consideration. Hallelujah. Don't let your feelings be the thing that you think of first, because down deep within you, your spirit is ready to go. Praise God. It's ready to go. Always. The spirit is always willing. It's always ready. And that will encourage you if you'll dwell on that. No matter how you feel, what you're going through, there's a part of you that's always ready. It's always ready to believe. You don't think you can believe? Take a step of faith and begin to believe. And your spirit, Christ in your spirit, will say amen to that and add his life to it. It's always ready to rejoice. You're down, depressed, whatever, and you take a step of faith and begin to rejoice. Sometimes I turn on some Christian music loud, and it helps me to begin to rejoice and to move in faith. Your spirit is always ready to move in faith and to conquer for God. So it's just important to know that there's a part of you that is always ready to serve God, always ready to rejoice, never changes, never gets down. And so you draw from that Christ within you whenever you're feeling all of those negative things. Praise God. Can anyone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad for God's design, because he knew that we needed something perfect within us. And so he moved in. Glory to God. I like the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I think it's the first thing it says, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So you are called, brother and sister, to enjoy God forever. Did you hear that? Need I say it again? You are called, brother and sister, to enjoy God forever. Let's enter into that calling. Why not? Let's say other callings, they're fine, and I'll accept those too. But my first one is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Just learn to enjoy God. I tell you, the spirit of condemnation, and Satan's so good at that, can keep you from enjoying God. But let me say to you, nothing can keep you from enjoying God. As you start by faith, nothing can keep you from enjoying him. When was the last time you considered that you could enjoy God every day? He's a friend. A friend loveth at all times. Can you hear that, beloved? A friend loveth at all times. When you're at your worst, a friend loveth at all times. You got to know that when you're going through a struggle. You got to know that when you're scraping the bottom. A friend loveth at all times. Praise God. And he's a friend that loveth at all times. And Psalm 56:9 says that he's for you. I think it's there that it says, when I call unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. is for me. How many remember that chorus? Bill remembers it. We're just home folks here tonight. Did you remember it? Would you mind if I teach that chorus? It's very short. We'll sing it 20 times and then we'll know it by the time we get through that. But just that one simple phrase. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Praise God. Amen. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Once more. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Amen. That's a good song for Monday mornings. This I know. I'd like for everyone to please say with me, God is for me. God is for me. Once again, more gusto. God is for me. Thank you for your cooperation. Hallelujah. Amen. So nothing can keep you from enjoying Him. You are called, your first calling is to enjoy Him forever. Glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Wake up on Monday morning and say, I'm to enjoy God on Mondays. Hallelujah. Say, I can enjoy God. He's my Father. Sin, I confess it. If I sin, I confess it and it's gone. Praise God. The blood of Christ is so powerful, we can't comprehend it. It's far beyond human comprehension. And it's thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness. When you confess a sin to Him, the blood of Christ wipes it away and it's gone. God can't even remember it. Praise God. And so problems, He will help us. And nothing can keep us from enjoying Him. He's a very joyful God. He says, when you come before me, please come with singing. And I'm a very joyful God. And in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Oh, that our children can say that about us dads. Dad, in your presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. I hope they could say that a little bit anyway, but they still love us, so I guess did something right. But hallelujah. He's very joyful. And so when you open the Bible, enjoy God. Your first calling is to enjoy God. He might want to correct you, but you know, when He corrects you, He'll do it with a smile in His spirit. So when we open the Bible, find the smile of God. Enjoy God. Every morning, when I go to the Scriptures, the most important thing is that God would come to me with His presence. And I don't care what He teaches. He can correct me. He can teach me something. He can just teach me the Word, whatever. So long as his presence comes. Beloved, I want to tell you, God faithfully comes morning after morning after morning, and I find the smile of God every morning. And that starts my day for me. Praise God. When you pray, enjoy God. There's all kinds of prayer, but please include in it enjoying God. Just fellowship. Hallelujah. Mark 4, Jesus said, and the disciples weren't listening, said, "Let us pass over to the other side." Now, after Jesus spoke that, there was no way in the universe that they could fail to get to the other side. If they had believed it, they would have approached the storm differently. But he said, when they started out, storm came, they thought they were going to sink, they thought they were going to die, but they forgot that the word of God had said, other side. We're going to make it to the other side. Praise God. And hallelujah. I've got news for you. You're going to make it to the other side. One way or another. Hallelujah. You're going to make it. The word of God is not given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Can you hear the word of God? Never perish. And once he said that, nothing can shake the word of God. You're going to make it to the other side. Hallelujah. Just like those disciples did. They didn't believe it sometimes, but they made it anyway. And so there's a university in Tokyo called the Keio University. And this university has a very interesting quality, a very interesting thing about it. I've not heard of it anywhere else, but they're very selective. It's very hard to get into there. It's not huge, but what they have in their stipulation is, if we accept you into this university, we guarantee you, you're going to graduate. How about that? The university guaranteeing the student, you're going to graduate. And of course, like I say, they're selective in their people that they take in. But what they don't tell them is if it takes 4 years, fine. If it takes 5 years, fine. If it takes 6 years, fine. But you're going to graduate. And I like that. There's something secure about that. And it probably makes them have enough rest that they get it done in 3 years or three and a half. So it's a picture of our lives at times going through that storm. Storm's raging. We feel like a failure. And Jesus is asleep in the boat, resting. Hallelujah. Problems and pressure, we're called to rest. We think we're going to sink, but Jesus is in our vessels. We cannot sink. Jesus is in your life. We cannot sink. He's in your circumstance. You cannot sink, praise God. Jesus is in your spirit. You cannot sink. And because he's there resting, you're going to make it. You're going to make it, folks. And I guarantee you that the Bible says that, I forget the exact wording of the verse, but it says basically, those that have come unto me, I have lost nothing. And remember that? I have lost nothing, not one. Of those that have come to Jesus, he has not lost one. And brother and sister, he's not going to let you make history. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's never lost one. And you're going to make it to the other side. Because he's their rest. In these ships that I say we build, I used to be in the shipyard, but that they build over here in the Newport News shipyard. And these ships that they build, there's a very important quality about those ships. And it's near the center of gravity of the vessel. They have usually two huge, powerful gyroscopes. And those gyroscopes, you know gyroscope, you know the principle of inertia. You know, once something is moving, it resists moving or stopping and all that. Well, anyway, they get those things spinning as they go out on their course, and a storm comes up, a wave hits them from the side, and they kind of go like that a little bit. If they did not have those gyroscopes, that wave would hit them, and they would go like that and perhaps capsize. But those gyroscopes refuse to move. They're steady. They hold that vessel steady. Beloved, you have a gyroscope in you called Christ in your spirit. And when that wave hits you, you may go a little bit like that, but you ain't going like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because of our heavenly gyroscope inside us, keeping us steady. Praise God. Amen. Matthew 11 is worth reading. Just a few verses, 28 and 30, you know them by heart. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Two kinds of rest mentioned in this passage. The kind that is a gift. I give unto you eternal life. You shall find rest. And praise God. And then there's a second kind. That's the kind you find. And that's learn of me. And as we learn to know the Lord more and more, our rest gets stronger. How many can say amen? You have a rest that is perfect. There's something about you that's perfect. In your spirit, you have a perfect rest that we can draw upon. But as we know the Lord, as we learn to know him, we will find rest growing and growing deeper and growing more satisfying. Praise God. Hallelujah. So salvation is a gift then we're kept by the power of God. You cannot reserve any private fears with regard to the final outcome and have rest. You can't hold fears about whether you're actually going to be caught up into heaven. Any secret, private fears that he's going to receive you into heaven. Once you have come to Christ, I tell you, folks, this thought comes to me again and again. It seems like such a small thing to us that one day the Holy Spirit helped us and we turned to God and to Christ and we received him. We confessed our sins and received him as our Savior. It looks like such a small thing to us. But in the eyes of God, it is such a huge thing because this whole world is rejecting his Son. And when one person like you or like me, when we turn and we do it, with the plan that God has designed and we receive it and we unite with him, then God says, oh, hallelujah. That's for eternity. Praise God. You're kept by the power of God. Praise God. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any, in the Greek, the word man is not there. Neither shall any, no spirit, no man, nothing can pluck you out of his hand. And so, hallelujah. God is good. So, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around his children, keeping you, protecting you, blessing you. Praise God. Eternal life. You'll never perish. Peter failed many times. How many would agree? He was presumptuous. He was full of life, but he was presumptuous. And he was walking on water. Well, that was better than the other disciples did. But he sunk, and he learned something. He wasn't really in the spirit that day that he cut off Malchus' ear. You know, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he really wasn't in the spirit that day. And he denied the Lord. It was so serious. He went out, and he was heartbroken, didn't want even to see anyone. But he finally got it. This guy who was so hyper finally got it. He discovered the blessing of rest. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, you know what? Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. What? That had become Peter's principle of life. That was not his principle of life before. But now he had learned, when I have all these things building up, I cast them all on the Lord because I know he cares for me. And he'll take them. Praise God. Amen. So, the Bible calls us to return into your rest. We slip away from it sometimes. Return unto your rest. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. How do we return into our rest? One way is to remember how bountifully he's blessed us with Christ in our spirit, the perfection of Christ in our spirit. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Why did he put that in there? Because our natural mind will want to kind of mix it up. But no, he says, my blessing contains no sorrow. He restores my soul, David said, to a place of rest, to a place where faith can operate, to a place where we can enjoy God. Hallelujah. And so, in once again, Exodus 33, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Can you hear that tonight? Can you receive that tonight? That is God's way. You want to know God's way for your life? His most basic way, the way that covers everything else? You know, they used to say, what's the best kind of workers' card to have? You know, and one guy said, well, it's best to have a roofer's card because it covers everything. And with that, I will close. So what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God calls you to that tonight, afresh and anew. To glorify God with your life. And one way to do that is to enjoy him forever. Father, thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful thing. May we remember what a great gift we have. Christ doesn't just dwell in us in a sort of ethereal sort of way, but he dwells in us positively, filling our spirits, ready to help us in whatever way we need, Lord. So fill us tonight with a fresh realization of that so that we can glorify you and enjoy you forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. I love you.
Thank you. Amen. Good message, huh? Brother Richard is always an encourager. And I don't know about you, but I need it. And, you know, as he was sharing, I thought about in my own life, you know, I had a brother, an older brother, and he knew a lot about things, a lot about how to work on cars and fix things. And we, back then, we had a lot of cars that didn't run good. I don't think my dad's ever had a new car when we were coming up. And my older brothers were finally given a car, and he would always get on them about checking the transmission fluid, and they forgot to check it one time, and the transmission went out. You could drive in reverse, but you just couldn't go forward. So his punishment, now this is not safe. I wouldn't advise this in the day and age, but we live in the country too. He made them get into the car and drive in reverse to the service station down the road. So that was, my dad was unique at finding punishments that would really get you. But this older brother of mine, anytime you had a problem with the car, his name is Kevin. If Kevin was there, oh, it's going to be okay. You know, you just had confidence. He can fix it. If there was a problem, if you were stuck, if you whatever, Kevin's there. He can do it. He was just one of those kind of brothers, you know. And I just thinking, you know, that's a brother. How about the Lord? You know, the Lord is there. I can just, yeah, the Lord's there. He can do it. You're in trouble? Jesus is with you. He's going to help you, you know. And that passage that Brother Richard read out of Mark where they were going across, you know, when they woke Jesus up and said, hey, we're perishing. Don't you care about us? We're perishing. And Jesus, of course, rebuked the wind and the waves and so forth. And they did make it to the other side, just like you said. They made it to the other side. But he says, why were you fearful? Why were you so fearful and without faith? And I believe that's part of what Richard's message tonight was. There is that rest for the people of God, but you have to take a step into it, right? You have to, by faith, you have to move that way. One of a neat verse in Jude is he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now think about that. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Does God ever stop loving you? No. But you can step out of it to where you don't feel loved by God. I don't feel like God cares for me. I don't feel like Jesus loves me. Well, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, how do you do that? Well, one way is by praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how you, the Bible speaks about it, builds up your inner man, right? You edify yourself. That's one way. And another way is what I shared Sunday about your mouth, what you begin to speak about. He brought up Brother Howard, and one of the things Howard said he does first thing in the morning, almost every morning without fail, is he thanks God for his salvation. You know, sometimes we get up and we start the list. God, this person needs help. This person needs help. You know, we just start the prayer chain. But to enjoy God, to think about him, you know, there's a blessing when you even think about God. It's in Malachi. He says, they that thought upon his name, a book of remembrance was written. So God's touched by that, right? And I remember I wrote a text message to Brother Jim, Brother Jim and Lane. I wrote it to Brother Jim, and I called him Dear Brother. And he wrote me back and just said how that had just touched him very deeply. You know, he felt the care, he felt that love, you know, of that affection, right? And so we have that with the Lord. We have that with one another as well. So thank you, brother. Appreciate the good, solid word. That's what we need, the word of God. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.